Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, the lead singer of the hit band Billions of Mario. And with me, I have...
Let's get this bullshit over with already.
And...
Who's probably gonna have this stool?
I don't know. Hopefully it was Ed Sheeran's.
It says Ed Sheeran. Okay.
Yeah.
Give it to Kesha. She deserved it.
And we'll get... You're getting way ahead of yourself, Alex. So, as you can tell by the general enthusiastic atmosphere and happy-go-lucky attitude of everyone in this chat, that we're recording this the day after the biggest night in music. And no, we're not talking about salsa night at Juanita's Leche Lounge. We are, of course, talking about the 60th annual iteration of the Grammy Awards, a thing that still goes on for some reason.
It goes on because CBS got to get paid.
Yeah, and it goes on because people like us basically give it free fucking publicity. I don't care that I screw that up, but last year was a Grammys, and this year's was also a Grammy.
Yeah.
But we'll work our way up to the big stuff in due time. Naturally, we gotta start with the pre-awards events, because, spoiler alert, the main ceremony of this was 3.5 hours long, and they only gave out 9 awards on screen.
Yep.
Just nine. 3.5 hours. It took them basically the length of, like, one of the extended editions of Lord of the Rings to put out 9 awards.
It took them two listens of that latest Migos album to get through this shit.
And hopefully they don't nominate that album.
Let's hope not.
Or the Conray Schumer album, which is about to be a triple album.
Oh, existence is pain.
As we'll soon discover as we go through this fucking list. Should we just start at the very, very beginning in the tent?
I suppose so, if that's actually where they did this stuff, in a tent.
Okay.
You know, because they're too good to give some of these awards on stage, but whatever. Okay, so I'm checking the Recording Academy's official Twitter and stuff, and, you know, cross-referencing it with the website and shit, so, I guess to start from the very beginning. So the first award handed out was Best Dance Recording. The award went to Tonight by LCD Sound System, beating out the likes of Gorillaz and Odessa. And then, speaking of Odessa, they were also nominated for Best Dance Electronic Album, which instead went to Kraftwerk for 3D The Catalog, which is no surprise because the robots always win.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the beginning of many, many wins for Kung Fu Kenny for Best Music Video for Humble. Shocking absolutely no one, because that video is GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
Let's see what else here. What else is of note? A lot of jazz. Apparently Randy Newman won an award for writing a song about Vladimir Putin.
For reference, we're not going to talk about every single award, because if we did, we'd be here for like 4 hours, and we don't care stuff about like album notes or engineering. But honestly, that's a lie because that's my field. But generally speaking, the general populace doesn't care about that kind of stuff.
For best engineered album non-classical, we'll get to you in a minute. Well, later on down the road. So, come on. Wow, there's a lot of fucking shit here. Like, I'm really just... This one I found interesting, just because I want to bring it up here. For Best Spoken Word Album, of course, went to The Princess Diarist from the late, great Carrie Fisher. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, you beautiful, crazy bitch.
Also, that fucking Super Saiyan shit she pulled in episode 8 was fucking awesome, and quit whining, you goddamn nerds. So, yeah, she won that. She beat out the likes of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bruce Springsteen, and Bernie Sanders and Mark Ruffalo. Yeah, the Hulk and Bernie. That was the thing. Oh boy, and this is, you know, there's some awards that pissed me off here, but I think this one pissed me off more than a certain other one later on down. Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media. The award for this one went to Justin, or rather a bunch of artists, for La La Land.
Yeah.
Fucking La La Land. I'm pretty sure I may have made this clear in the past. I can't stand that movie. I think it's aggressively mediocre. And that hurts even more as someone who's a fan of the director's previous film, Whiplash. But to make this a doubly swift kick to the nuts, this same category had both Baby Driver and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 nominated.
As we will learn, even in New York, Hollywood goes for the safe picks.
And of course, La La Land also won Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media, beating out the likes of Game of Thrones Season 7, Dunkirk, and Arrival, amongst others. I am sick of people validating this goddamn award show. Well, the award show and the fucking movie. Best song written for visual media, thankfully, did not go to either of the La La Land nominees. Instead, went to How Far I'll Go from the movie Moana, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and performed by Ollie Cravallo. Congratulations, motherfucking Latians.
Yeah, you beat out a bunch of other shit, including, well, I'm not going to mention, that I don't want to mention.
Yeah, a bunch of classical awards, yeah. Temporary classical.
Again, my field.
Jazz. God, there's so much jazz here. There's so much jazz, I could be making B-movie references. I'm trying to scroll through this shit. Let's see here. Oh, here we are. Alright, so Best Rock Performance. This one went to Leonard Cohen for You Want It Darker. A good song, and I think, you know, I'm not mad that it won. I was personally rooting for Foo Fighters and Run, but, you know, as long as it wasn't nothing more.
It was nothing more. Actually,
straight up. Best Metal Performance. Alex, you want to take over this one?
Or sure. Or at least
bring it up? Yeah.
Simply put, Mastodon won. I can live with that.
Now, personally, I would have preferred Meshuggah's Clockworks, but hey, as long as it wasn't Code Orange.
Yeah.
Of course, Best Rock Song, that one went to Run by the Foo Fighters, which beat out the likes of, again, Nothing More, Metallica's Atlas Rise, and Avenged Sevenfold, who said they wouldn't even show up at the event to protest the fact that they don't broadcast these things live. So how's that working out for you, buddy?
Oh my, you're actually choosing to stay on tour and not go to the Grammys. You sure showed them.
Yeah.
Such rebels.
Remember 2005 when everyone actually gave a shit at what Avenged Sevenfold thought about anything? Thank God we don't live in those times anymore. Yeah. After that, of course, Best Rock Album went to, weirdly enough, the indie hipster one, A Deeper Understanding by the War on Drugs.
Yeah, this was weird to me, because any other year this would have been fine, but this went up against Nothing More, Mastodon, and Metallica. This feels like it would have been a better fit for maybe Best Alternative Album, not Best Rock. But hey, what the fuck do I know?
Speaking of that, I really liked A Deeper Understanding, but, like, yeah, I agree, it should probably be in the other categories. Although, seriously, that fucking Nothing More album, I tried to listen to them all the way through. I don't know, it felt like I was listening to the same song over and over again, to be perfectly honest. I don't get what you rock nerds find so appealing. And then, of course, for Best Alternative Music Album, that award goes to Sleep Well Beast by The National, which is actually a good album. It's on rotation at my station, or at least I think it was for a bit. So I got a taste for it. It was a pretty good album. And all I have to say to that is, suck it, Father John Misty. best R&B performance. You want to do this one, Mark?
Yep.
Oh boy.
Well, for... Oh, boy. You said that. Well, for best R&B performance, the winner for that is... That's What I Like from Bruno Mars. You'll be hearing that name a lot. Spoiler. And yes, this beat out The Weeknd from SZA, which I actually wanted to win. But anyway, moving on. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna go into the best R&B song because I get the other one later. That also went to Bruno Mars with That's What I Like. Again, that beating out Supermodel by SZA, Redbone by Childish Gambino, and Location by Khalid and all the other songs. And of course, best R&B album, 24K Magic from Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to hear that name. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, for best urban contemporary album, the winner for that went to, wait, what the fuck? Starboy from The Weeknd.
Don't you just love when they stop counting acceptable nominations by the end of September? Then you end up getting weird shit like this where it's far beyond the point of people still giving a fuck.
I mean, that was alright, but I would have went for SZA or Gambino. I mean, I like the album, but I feel like the other two deserve better.
Well, at least it wasn't Six Flag.
Okay. And since I mentioned Gambino, man, finally got a Grammy for best traditional R&B performance for Redbone. which good. I'm happy you got a win. Thank good.
Really looking forward to that final album and Atlanta Robin season.
Halfway to an EGOT.
Halfway.
Only a month away till it comes on.
Yeah. So, what about? I think by this point we're about best rap song.
Oh yeah,
song of performance. Okay.
Best rap performance. Who do you think it went to?
Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Yeah.
Yeah. Humble for Kendrick Lamar took that best performance, and you know what? He took best rap song as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. This is the beginning of at least what I thought was going to be an enthusiastic sweep. But, you know, getting a good rhythm, bunch of fucking country shit. Best pop duo group performance. Yeah, I was trying to catch up here. So for best pop duo group performance, the winner is Feel It Still by Portugal. The man.
Oh.
Fine, whatever.
At least it wasn't Chainsmokers.
That's pretty much the only attitude you could take. Like, it's technically the least bad of a category that included the likes of Thunder, Stay, and fucking Despacito. God damn it. Yeah. I guess it's worth noting for best traditional pop vocal album, that went to a Tony Bennett tribute thing, which beat out the likes of Bob Dylan, Sarah McLachlan, and Hey, Loish, remember that time I got nominated for a Grammy, Loish? Hey, Loish.
It's not funny when you do it either.
Well, to be fair, is it funny when anyone does it?
No, it's not.
Best pop vocal album.
Oh, fuck.
That went to Divide by Ed Sheeran.
Oh,
okay, look. This category had Kesha's Rainbow and Lady Gaga's Joanne. You had two perfectly good picks there, and you go for the fucking Play-Doh Gremlin.
Whack.
Straight up whack. Let's see. What else? What's over here? Okay, so by that point, I think that basically is like the end of like the main Grammy ceremony.
Yeah, or the shit that matters to us.
That was it. Then it was time for the red carpet and time to get inside Madison Square Garden for the bullshit.
But first,
you might think it would... You wouldn't think the bullshit right from the get-go, because it opens with our boy Kung Fu Kenny performing... Yay! I believe it was Triple X.
Yeah, Triple X was led into DNA and two of the songs from the Black Panther soundtrack.
Well, one of them is his verse from King's Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention... There was, of course, the theatrics with, like, shooting down a bunch of soldiers and shit.
Yep.
And random interruptions from none other than Dave Chappelle.
Which, when you say it's true, the honest black man in America? Which, yeah, that's kind of true.
Yeah.
So we had that fantastic performance. Then out comes the old Thor to my side, Mr. James Corden.
At least he didn't start it off with a terrible skit. Give him that much.
I still hate seeing his face everywhere, and there's terrible skits in the future.
We'll get to those, don't worry, but at least there wasn't, you know, last year.
Anyway, after that, he introduces the next big performance, Lady Gaga giving... a really beautiful piano performance of Joanne and Million Reasons. And her piano was a bird because your argument is invalid. A glorious swan of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we get John Legend and Tony Bennett. You know, John Legend, the piano player, and Tony Bennett, who I think Lady Gaga actually did a collaborative album. Yeah. They go up on stage to present the first award of the night for a... Best Rap / Sung Performance. You want to cover this one, Mark?
Yes. The nominees for this are Problems by Black Sixlack. Crew by Goldlink featuring Brent Fias and Shy Glizzy. Family Feud from Jay-Z featuring Beyonce. Love Galore, SZA featuring Travis Scott. And the winner, fuck it, it's Loyalty, Cringe Loyalty, Rihanna, they're the winners.
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen. That's why the most interesting part of this segment of the show was everyone debating the tight differences between the two.
what was up with that?
Okay, so here's the thing. I actually looked up their heights just for the shit of it. Rihanna is 5'8". And Kendrick is 5'6". So technically she's already taller than him, but I guess she was wearing heels or something that made her look like a friggin' titan. Whatever, I'm not the one in charge of the fashion choices.
Okay, sure.
Then we get a bunch of commercial breaks, which will be one of many reminders during this award show of why I don't watch CBS during other times.
Well, Kevin can wait. I don't want him.
We're number one. Keep sucking your own dick, CBS. See where that gets you in the future.
Spoiler alert, it'll get you banned from Baskin-Robbins. Don't ask me how I know that. Okay, so those commercials, then Jay-Z gets the 2018 music industry icon or something. Then Sam Smith, gives a performance of a song, and I'm just like...
Bathroom break.
Yeah, I think that was the bathroom break from Mark, at least the first
one. It was
them, anyway.
That one song we talked about... like months ago, and it was all right, I guess, it's just sort of there.
It goes right through you like a fiber supplement. Then, after that, out come Kelly Clarkson and Nick Jonas, stars of the hit December 2017 blockbuster Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I think that might have just been Nick Jonas, but who cares, he didn't watch that movie anyway. So, they come out on stage to present the award for Best New Artist. And the nominees are Khalid, Lil Uzi Vert, Julia Michaels, SZA, and of course the winner is Alessia Cara. Which,
SZA
again...
got robbed.
Straight up. And plus, wasn't Alessia Cara's breakout like a couple years before this?
Yeah, it was like 2015 or some shit. The Grammys are late as fucking when it comes to this shit.
I mean, look on the bright side. At least it wasn't going to sleep in a jacuzzi, waking up next to a two-piece. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And then afterwards, we get some shtick from a comedian who I think is Jim Gaffigan, although he was listening to Cinco.
Yeah,
in
Jim Gaffigan.
When they get to... Huh. Well, yeah. Seriously, then what was up with that thing where, like, when they were presenting the comedy album, he
that
was listed
as Cinco?
That was
the name of his special.
But they named each other comedian by their names, though, is the thing.
I don't know how this fucking thing works, as we'll soon find out later on.
Yes, you see my point here. So he, you know, talks a bit about best comedy album, gives some shtick that's honestly way funnier than anything that's going to come out of James Corden's mouth later. Seriously, I don't get why you all fucking like him. And then afterwards, we get a performance by Little Big Town performing some song called Better Man, which I think they said was written by Taylor Swift.
I
heard her name come up at some point. Why?
Someone should be going, I still exist. You'll love me. Come next year. Oh, God.
That year is going to be pain. I can just feel it in my bones. But then, more commercials. And then afterwards, a pleasant surprise. Gary Clark Jr., who I think is decent. And Jean Baptiste, the leader of the late show Stephen Colbert's house band. They give a performance of Ain't That a Shame in tribute to, I think it was Fats Domino?
Yeah, him and Chuck Berry. Yeah. It was very nice. It was pretty good.
Fine tributes.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think they also present an award as well. You know, they present for Best Pop Solo.
Oh, boy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Ah, damn it. Sorry, I'm trying to get the results thing.
Mind if I take this one? Because I have things to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, best pop solo performance. It was between Ed Sheeran's Shape of You, Lady Gaga's Million Reasons, Pink's What About Us, Kelly Clarkson's Love So Soft, and Kesha's Praying. Naturally, it goes to Ed Sheeran, who didn't even bother showing up tonight. Like, okay, spoiler, Kesha performed Prayers at the show. It was amazing. After seeing that, how the fuck do you rationalize this?
Fucking Play-Doh face Shrek doll motherfucker who's like, he's like if Flight of the Conchords sucked.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know that comment that what's that guy's name, the president of the Grammys mentioned, need to step up. Motherfucker, you gave an award which one nominees for all female with one guy, and you gave it to the guy.
How about that's not even counting Kesha, the whole Lord stuff. Holy
my
shit.
My homegirls Kesha and Gaga both stood up, and you gave it to Sheeran. What the fuck position are you in to talk shit, Mr. Grammy President?
God damn it.
Yeah, we are very, very mad. Then, afterwards, we get another commercial break. And I would like to point out, by this point, we are an hour into the show. So if it seems like we're breezing through this, that's because we can be more efficient than an actual Grammy ceremony.
Yep.
Yeah. I recorded this whole thing and watched it in under 2 hours.
So after that commercial break, Victor Cruz and Sarah Silverman come out on stage to introduce the bane of my existence, Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, doing a live performance of the song of the summer, people, Despacito.
Okay.
You don't get to talk, because this is my gripe here. Like, okay, you all out there in, like, wherever you're listening to this, you know, Alex in North Carolina, Mark in Alabama, where presumably they still have pop radio, or, like, in big cities anywhere, you fuckers think you're sick of hearing this shit? Remember where I'm at. I live in fucking Miami, Florida, the biggest market in America, possibly beyond a shadow of a doubt, for reggaeton music. Probably the city that is one of the key reasons why Daddy Yankee even has a career in the first place. How the fuck do you think I feel? It's like Clockwork Orange, except they're prying open my ears with this shit.
Damn.
Just think of that card gambling shit in, like, I don't know, fucking Kaiji or whatever, where he's, like, betting with, like, his fucking ears and shit.
Ow.
I'll say this, though. I don't listen to pop radio at all, so I've only heard this song, like, maybe twice, and it's there, you know. I've heard better Latin pop. If I want to hear good Latin pop, I'll just, you know, listen to some Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah, yeah, like, I don't listen to radio much. I tried one time, and it's like, you know, I'm going back to my MP3 player.
Y'all could be listening to Celia Cruz or Elvis Crespo, but instead, we're stuck with this.
I only hope that everybody watching this who fell for the song because of the remix heard it without, you know, Mr. Asshole, and realize, why do I like this song again?
Believe it or not, you know, people think it sounds romantic as hell because it's sung in Spanish. I actually looked up translations and the metaphors for this shit. I assure you, this song is dumb as hell.
Of course it is. It has Daddy Yankee on it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on for the bitterness, because at least after this, we get a good performance, you know.
Yay.
Yeah.
Terrified from our boy Childish Gambino.
Yeah. This was good.
This was awesome. This was great.
This was sexy. Fuck you, Ed Sheeran. This is what a sexy song is.
I felt like having sex right there and then. Unfortunately, there's no one here to have sex with.
I hope not.
What's that supposed to mean? This isn't a light novel anime adaptation, dude. Keep your perviness to yourself. This is a Christian podcast.
Sure it is.
And I would like to establish for the record that all of the banter we are saying, infinitely funnier than anything that comes out of James Corden's mouth. But anyway, after that performance, back to commercial, and I'm pretty sure this is the commercial break where they did that weird animoji thing, you know, set to Redbone.
Yeah, they did.
Why is Apple investing in this technology?
I don't know.
Also, something about, like, a music educator award going to some teacher in the Bronx. Because, of course. Yeah. And then the quickest part of the night.
Pretty much.
Disappointingly so. Of course, our boy Chappelle comes back out on stage to present the award for Best Rap Album, but not before throwing some very necessary shade at the Academy for snubbing the boys in A Tribe Called Quest.
Hear, hear.
Yep.
Like, you found room to nominate Migos, but not Tribe. Fucking, I swear to God, like, those guys are fucking shitting themselves with rage right now. And how the hell does Migos think they have enough material for an hour and 40-minute album? Shut up.
Fife Dog is rolling in his grave. And that's only because he listened to Culture, too.
Oh, God.
Straight up.
Let's say for those in hip-hop, why should I make very long-ass albums for...
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Like, some people can do it because... Some may have themes, or some may switch their styles. Like I heard Big Crit had an album last year, which I heard was good. That was the album. But then again, he had themes and all that shit. Y'all just doing the same shit before wider length.
I'm telling you, they're trying to game the system to improve their streaming metrics.
Yeah, that too.
But anyway, go ahead and take us over, Mark.
All right, for Best Rap Album, we have 444, Jay-Z, Culture, the mum niggas, Latest Wisdom, Rap City, Flyboy, Tyler, the Creator, and of course, let's face it, the winner's Kendrick Lamar,
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep sweeping,
also,
buddy.
Yeah, I also want to mention this. Did anybody see the picture of Todd Creator and his hair?
Oh, yeah, I saw
that.
Yeah,
he had one of those weird Russian hats on.
Yeah, I noticed his hair was painted like a leopard. Like, he had like a leopard sort of hair on him. Like, okay.
Additionally, Jay-Z with a head of hair looks weird.
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, that's what happens when you aged a lot. Like, and he's pushing like 48 or something. Shit.
I guess.
He's old, okay?
He is very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we get a performance for Pink, which was pretty cool. Okay. There was also the sign language interpreter in the background. Mm-hmm.
It was a solid performance, and it's proof that when you take away the gimmicks and the pop cliches, she is a very solid singer.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Then afterwards, we get another fucking commercial break. I think there was a bunch of Target advertisements. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, there was that one thing.
And then, this for me was honestly the nadir of the night. The point where I was staring into the void and deeply questioning, what the hell am I even doing with my life right now? There was a fucking carpool karaoke skit, or subway karaoke rather, between James Corden, Sting of the Police, and Shaggy. Because remember, apparently Sting and Shaggy are doing an album together.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Really a thing that's happening. I only have one thing to say about that. Zoinks!
Aha, hilarious and original.
Somebody had to do it. It had to be me. I took the bullet. You're welcome.
But yeah, this sketch reminds me precisely why I don't bother with carpool karaoke or the Late Late Show in general. I cannot think of a less exciting comedic performer than James Corden. Just, this whole fucking thing is just... I was rooting for the guy that punched him in the face, and I was secretly hoping that that part wasn't staged. Because fuck you, James. You were in the Emoji Movie. You're a piece of shit.
And first you're going to be in the Peter Rabbit movie, and you know he saw that shit.
To be fair, it could be worse. He could be TJ Miller.
Actually, I think I prefer TJ Miller. At least he has a personality. You know, beyond being a rapist piece of shit. But moving on. After that, we get a performance of Finesse by Bruno Mars, of course, featuring Cardi B. And I have no comments to make other than, oh lord, Cardi B's outfit.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think the performance, it doesn't mind you of. This is definitely that 90s shit. This is definitely that 90s in Living Color type of shit.
Yes, and pretty much. That's what I wrote. Yeah. It looked like it was ripped from a Living Color. I was just thinking, okay, when is Keem Lavery Wayans going to show up?
Where's Homie the Clown? Or does he not play that?
And also on Cardi B, oh lord, yes. Oh my damn.
Now, if only she wasn't homophobic.
Oh, don't fuck.
Let's leave that back room at the door, because that's something for another time.
Yeah, and we already have... There's already a Rap Critic video about that whole thing. Or at least the Migos part of it. But afterwards, we get... And this is kind of the weird part, the fact that they chose to present this album during the main ceremony. Best Comedy Album, presented by current Daily Show host Trevor Noah. I'm sure this must be an exciting moment for him. Yeah. Should be told I haven't watched The Daily Show in fucking forever. But
mind if I take this one? Because I think I may know why they decided to put this on TV for the first time in, like, ever.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to point out, four of these nominations were Netflix specials. So here we go. We have The Age of Spin and Deep in the Heart of Texas from Dave Chappelle. Cinco from Jim Gaffigan, Jerry Before Seinfeld from Jerry Seinfeld, A Speck of Dust from Sarah Silverman, and What Now from Kevin Hart. It went to Dave Chappelle, of course.
Right.
But here's where I think they decided to give this some focus. Four of these were on Netflix. Netflix has an insane reach with not just their own paid audience, but everyone. This is doing more for stand-up than anyone's done in a long time, probably since the heyday of HBO stand-up specials in the 90s and early 2000s. So yeah, I can see why they decided to put this on TV.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm seeing a lot of stand-up specials on Netflix recently. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of them.
Yeah, I haven't had time to dive through a lot, apart from a couple of the recent Patton Oswalt ones. And from what I hear from John, apparently the Chappelle ones are excellent, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to keep that in mind if I get some free time. Then afterwards, we get a performance from Sting of Englishmen in New York, with, of course, Shaggy coming out as well. Seriously, Sting and Shaggy? What the fuck are you even... Whatever. Afterwards, we get a commercial break, then a really bad joke about a bunch of people trying to capture footage of James Corden on their smartphones. Oh, and then, of course, the next live performance of Sign of the Times by DJ Khaled featuring Rihanna and Bryson Tiller. A.K.A. the features are doing all the work while DJ is just dancing around.
DJ Khaled! We have the Grammys!
I skipped this. I have no regrets.
I like the part where he said, this the Grammys, as in... Thank you, DJ Khaled, for helpfully reminding me what event I've been sitting here nearly 2 hours watching.
Is he going to mention his son, or did he?
He did not.
Okay.
So another commercial break. Then Best Country Album introduced by fuck knows who. I didn't catch the names. And again, at this point, again, this is award number 6, and we are 2 hours in. 2 hours! I could watch, 4 episodes of What the Fuck is Wrong with You in that time. 3 or 4, somewhere.
Okay, we watched Pop Team Epic at that time.
Pretty much. Best Country Album. Of course, the nominees are Cosmic Hallelujah by Kenny Chesney, Heartbreak by Lady Antebellum. Wait, Lady Antebellum is still a thing? I thought people stopped caring about them. The Breaker by Little Big Town, Life Changes by Thomas Rhett, and the winner is From a Room, Volume 1 by Chris Stapleton.
The dude with the very long beard.
From what I hear, he's actually pretty solid in the country scene, but...
That's what I hear, too.
There's something I want to point out. The friggin' lack of self-awareness that the presenters had talking about Johnny Cash before talking about modern country... It's not what it used to be.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
Oh, Lord.
It's like for every Sturgill Simpson, there's 5 Florida Georgia lines. Or Sam Hunts.
Oh, God.
But there was a decent performance afterwards. Maren Morris, the Brothers Osborne, and Eric Church gave a really moving tribute to the victims of the Las Vegas concert shooting from last year. Mm-hmm.
I have something I want to point out about this as well. Somebody screwed up the audio when Maren Morris was talking. I heard a lot of background noise. It sounded like it was just being picked up from the PA, and I heard somebody say, yep. What happened?
I guess I must have missed that part.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
But afterwards, we get another commercial break. And then out on stage comes Miss Janelle Monae. I haven't heard from you in a while. Have you been doing stuff?
I did a movie that we actually won an Oscar last year. Another movie that we start with about space.
Oh, yeah. She was in Hidden Figures, I think.
Yeah, she was.
So she comes out stage, and then she gives a speech about the entire notion, about the whole, Time's Up movement, and, she basically cuts them no slack. Doubly so when she introduces the next performance, which is where we get the Kesha performance of Praying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel conflicted about this because, don't get me wrong, it is a fan-goddamn-tastic performance for, a necessary cause and movement. But when you step back and really think about it, you have to think it's kind of odd that, let me put it like this. It's kind of weird that the industry that pretty much did nothing about Dr. Luke for fuck knows how long, is now more or less trying to commodify the abuse that Kesh has gone through. You look at it for long enough and you're like, wait, this is kind of messed up. That's putting it mildly.
That's the industry as a whole. It's been that way forever.
I guess, but, you know, I guess they've never been this explicit about that. And speaking of support for social and political causes, out comes, and let me see if I got this right here, Camila Cabello, who is apparently the lady that got kicked out of Fifth Harmony.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good. Got it. I don't know these names. I don't know what you want me to tell you. So she came out on stage to discuss, you know, her background as an immigrant to the States, you know, support for all the Dreamers and all that, because, you know, fucking mm-hmm. Republicans trying to fuck everything up for everyone.
If I may interject, I want to point out the people who are complaining about the show being too political. I don't want politics in my music. Especially you, Nikki Haley, your lack of self-awareness. Have you not listened to any music in, like, the last 50 years?
Fucking hell, some of the biggest songs of all time, there have even been number one hit singles that have been about political shit. Have you ever heard Stevie Wonder's You Haven't Done Nothing? I know it's going
American
really
Pie,
back, but...
American Pie was not about pie, okay? It was about Vietnam.
Straight up. The best music has always had some kind of political bent. And I need to remind you, she probably... I can guarantee you without looking at her Twitter feed, she said nothing about Joy Villa showing up with a weird pro-life dress.
Y'all made me remember
you,
that.
Fuck you, Becky.
Y'all made me remember that bitch. I don't remember anymore.
Fuck you, Becky, you fucking Stan.
And she doesn't even have good hair.
No, she doesn't.
And then after that, you know, the politics get amped up further with you two performing Get Out of Your Own Way on a boat circling the Statue of Liberty. Or some kind of barge, I think. It had, like, eyes on the back wall and the floor.
Two notes. One, this is pre-taped the Friday before.
Right.
And two, they couldn't even get Kendrick at the end. Come on, Bono, what the hell?
Like, dude... Like, okay, so you can appear during his performance, but he can appear during yours. I don't buy that for a second. Anyway, after that, another commercial break. Then Sting comes on out on stage. This time he's presenting an award for Song of the Year.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
Where the hell is it? I thought I could pull it up here.
Very top.
Very top. There it is. I don't know why it was juggling me through a bunch of fucking spam comments. Sorry. We'll shorten this part in post. So, Song of the Year. The nominees are Despacito, Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber. 444 by Jay-Z. Okay. Issues by Julia Michaels. 1-800-273-8255. By Logic featuring Alessia Cara and Khalid. And the winner goes to That's What I Like by Bruno Mars.
I want to point out something when reading the Song of the Year nominees. I read that on the Logic Suicide Hotline number. I saw that it says Andrew Taggart of the Chainsmokers, mind you, was one of the songs of that song. And I thought... Oh, fuck. And also, maybe that explains some of the poppiness on that song.
Chainsmoker chords, son.
Oh, boy. Was he the one that... I think he's the one that did the whole, who gave a light? Hey! I don't know.
That sounds like a Chainsmoker's idea, to be honest. But after that, there's the one kind of amusing moment of the night... Comedy-wise, we get a sketch where different people are auditioning to be the person who reads the audiobook of Fire and Fury. Which, of course, ends with... And I'm surprised Ms. Nikki Haley didn't comment on this part in specific. I'm still waiting for the Trump tweets. Ending with Hillary Clinton reading. And then, of course, them choosing her to be the audiobook reader.
Oh, shit. And people were mad because clearly these people have their priorities straight if they could be mad about a fucking 20-second cameo from Hillary Clinton. And I'm sure everybody at Fox News was just in a hate-filled circle jerk over this.
Yep. How dare she?
Which all you people, I have to say, why are you being so oversensitive? Can't you take a joke, you fucking PC wimp?
you snowflake bitches.
Okay, so moving on from that, out comes Anna Kendrick, a.k.a. the greatest actress who's never been in a good movie, or at least a movie I liked. I'm not a fan of Pitch Perfect. But she is a national treasure, I will admit. She comes out on stage to introduce Elton John, which I'm not sure why he's performing, other than I guess this correlates in a nice coincidental way with the news that he's got to be going on a 3-year, 300-show last world tour before retirement. Of course, he performs his classic Tiny Dancer with a surprise appearance from Miley Cyrus.
Bathroom break!
Yes, yes,
what does the guy got to do to hear Love Lies Bleeding again?
Or Benny and the Jets. You know what I mean? That sounds classic. Then, after that, there's the commercial break where they do some kind of lengthy, like, Target music video commercial thing. I didn't bother to jot down what it was this year because it wasn't my homegirl, Carly Rae Jepsen, so who cares? Hashtag y'all are sleeping on Carly Rae. Then back to some James Corden gag where his parents are, like, making fun of him. Whatever.
To be fair to them, I would go see Hamilton, too, before going to the Grammys.
Well, I think anyone would. You're not wrong there.
Yeah.
Take it on tour, Lin-Manuel Miranda, please!
Well, I think he's Hamilton performances are being handled down here in Miami, if I recall correctly. So who knows, maybe they're getting on the touring circuit sometime soon. They're feeling out the waters, I guess. After that, there's a performance of Somewhere by Ben Platt. Then after that, another performance, Patti LuPone, who, according to Mark, apparently is the voice of Yellow Diamond in Steven Universe.
Yes, she
performs. Sorry, go ahead.
I said, yes, she is. Go on.
Right. So after that, she performs Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, originally composed by playwright legend Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't really have much else to say beyond that.
She's solid. She got some pipes on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all right. So then
I was about to say, at this point, it's 10:30. We're at the 3-hour mark.
Yes, yes. Get another commercial break. Then SZA performs. Thank God.
Yep.
Because someone has to save this ship before it tanks SZA down on. SZA
killed it.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she performed Broken Clocks. It was amazing. I'm still pissed she got snubbed. Whatever. Then afterwards, Alicia Keys comes out on stage. She mentioned something about, like, producer of the year, non-classical, some dude named Greg Kurstin or whatever. And then we get a record of the year.
Oh, boy.
Do any of you want to tackle this, or?
Sure. I'll tackle it. Sure. Okay, so. Nominees. Story of OJ from Jay-Z, 24 Karat Magic from Bruno Mars, Humble, Kendrick Lamar, Despacito, Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, featuring, still not appearing at this show, and Redbone, Childish Gambino. Surprise! It went to Bruno Mars.
It should have gone to Kendrick!
You know,
this interferes with the Kendrick clean sweep.
You know, out of something, you're out of bad feeling. It's gonna be, oh wait, it might say, I had a bad feeling. It might go to Bruno.
Cause don't we all have that bad feeling.
Cause my thing about from last year, like from last year, all the top three things with that, all the you know, song of the year and record of the year with that Dale, I think, from last year for her song. I think it was that song's, and I think there's a pattern somewhere. There's a pattern which everybody should be familiar about, but fuck it. Yeah.
Especially if you saw last year with Adele.
Yeah, I mean I like Bruno, but it could with the Kendrick. Hell, I wouldn't mind if Gambino took it.
But it went to the perfectly average pop song. How underwhelming. Then another commercial break. Then James Corden introduces fuckface president of the Recording Academy.
Oh yeah, that nigga.
Yeah.
That motherfucker. Then out on stage comes Chris Stapleton and Emmylin Harris performing, I think it was Tom Petty's Wildflowers for the In Memoriam segment.
Mm-hmm.
This which went on for a while.
Yeah, which I have to say, holy shit, when the fuck did Della Reese die? I can't believe I'm only finding out about this now.
I think, I don't know if some months ago, that's that blew my mind. I will say at least they give, you know, some respect for my boy Prodigy.
And Chris Cornell. Seriously, when they started playing Black Hole Sun, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it ended on a very poignant note, which led into the next performance.
Yes, Logic performing 1-800. Of course, with Alessia Cara and Khalid.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple things to say about not just the performance, but the song itself. Yeah, we know one of the Chainsmokers had writing credit on this, and, you know, it's easy to make fun of the whole "who can relate" line. Good idea, bad execution, still good intent. I can tell there was genuine sincerity going along with that. However, after the song, Mr. Logic decided to give a little bit of a spiel. And wouldn't you know it, CBS at friggin' 10:55 p.m. decided to hit the bleep button when Logic said, "To all those countries, you are not shitholes." They bleeped him out, and they cut away to the hard camera so that nobody could read his lips. At 5:11. What the hell, CBS? The president can say it, but friggin' Logic can't? At 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah. Fucking... What, do you think the FCC is going to ride your ass? I mean, technically, they should already be riding your ass for committing the felony of airing a Kevin James sitcom.
And over 10 years of The Big Bang Theory.
And Young Sheldon.
And all them other pointless procedural crime, whatever shows they're doing is a shit about.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, people... I mean, seriously, Criminal Minds is still on? People watch, still watch that? Okay, well, I guess old motherfuckers do, and I guess NCIS too, but I'm getting off the point
Then, after that performance, one last commercial break, and now it is time. Out on stage comes none other than Bono and The Edge. To present the final fucking award, where, at the very least, the show technically sticks within its chosen time frame. They just have to assign themselves from 7:30 to 11 in order to do so, but hey, at least there technically wasn't overrun.
Yeah.
So, album of the year, the final award of the night, of music's biggest night. The nominees are Awaken My Love, Childish Gambino, 24 Karat Magic, Bruno Mars, Lord, Melodrama, 444 by Jay-Z, and Damn by Kendrick Lamar. And the award goes to, I'm fucking sorry, I can't fucking keep this. Are you fucking kidding me with 24 Karat Magic? Are you fucking serious? Like, fucking, just, god. Like, look, I don't hate Bruno Mars. I don't. If this sounds like I'm hating on the guy, I'm not. But let's put this into perspective. You have Lord's Melodrama, one of the best pop records of the year. You have Awaken My Love, which is Gambino's best record, and, you know, a pretty solid R&B outing. You have 444, which many agree is the single best thing that Jay-Z has put out in fuck knows how long. And you have fucking Kendrick Lamar. It's like, You know, it's like, I want to point out something that, like, the Melon tweeted. It's like, even if you think Damn is, like, the least good of Kendrick's albums, what the fuck does he have to do to get a goddamn Grammy for Album of the Year? What, does he have to fix global warming? I swear to God, he's like, it's like with every subsequent album, they're just going to keep snubbing him on this one category where it matters. It's like he's the Leonardo DiCaprio of rap.
Oh, damn. Yeah, it's like, let's say 2012, Kendrick got a critically acclaimed album, no Grammy. 2015, he gets a critically acclaimed album that got some cultural impact on it. No Mas. 2017, he got all that shit, but got all commercial, but must be that, and a commercial success at that. Again, nothing.
Oh, man, it's just... I was going through these albums to try and figure out what would be the strongest pick. Every time I went through these albums, it always came back to Kendrick. 444, compared to Damn... Yeah, Kendrick's going to win that one. Can't really compare it to Gambino or Lorde because different styles altogether. Still great albums in their own right, but pound for pound, I would go with Damn. But, you know, it's Bruno Mars. It has catchy singles. It has the widespread appeal. It's the safe pick. So, of course.
And, you know, here's the thing. I don't even understand the logic of safe pick here, because wouldn't safe pick amount to, what's the album that we can choose that will keep people from breathing down our necks here at the Academy for making the wrong choice? Because here's the thing. Like, if you think about it in terms of safe, like, 24 Karat Magic is safe in, like, terms of pure, like, broad appeal, but it, like, not safe... in terms of, we're going to be writing the Academy's ass for as long as we possibly can over this. We've been doing it since 2012, we've been doing it since 2015, and we're going to be doing it from 2018 up to whenever Kendrick's next album comes out, which of course is not going to win because they're probably going to be on, I don't know, fucking insert pop star here, album number 6 or whatever. God. You know...
Then there's the Lorde thing. Can I just go over this for a moment?
Sure, this thing.
Fucking thing with Lorde. Okay, so, yeah, surprise. She was nominated for Album of the Year. Nowhere on the show. The story goes, she wanted to have her own performance, which, to be fair, she's an Album of the Year contender. She should have gotten her own performance. She's fucking Lorde. But no, they wanted her to be part of this Tom Petty tribute. She said, fuck that. And so they said, okay, fuck you. You're gone. So, yeah, this fucking Academy President guy... talking about how women need to rise up. Yeah, fuck you, motherfucker. Fuck you, you hypocritical son of a bitch. Fuck you. Ugh.
And with that, we have finally established why we will never get invited to cover the Grammys.
Yeah, and I'm going to say one more thing. Again, this has been the last time a hip-hop record won Album of the Year was 14 years ago. The album was with Outkast, Speaker Box a Little Below.
Do it was like so long ago.
Do better, Grammys. It's like, no wonder you had your lowest ratings in fuck knows how long.
Yeah. It's not because of the politics. It's not because of, you know, insert petty reason here. It's because y'all keep... doing the same mistakes over and over again.
Anyway, I think we've exhausted all the salt because basically there's nothing else to say about this Grammy Awards. It was an award show. I mean, yeah. Say what you will about last year, at least there was some interesting stuff to riff on.
Yeah.
My only hope is that in like 10 years' time, if I'm ever in the industry... I just get invited to the premiere ceremony show, and I just leave. I said, I had to go, hey, who wants In-N-Out? And I'll take, like, 3 people with me because, you know, In-N-Out. Not very high class, but fuck it. I like my burgers and shakes.
That would mean something to me if I lived on the West Coast. Instead, we just have, like, Shake Shack here. And BurgerFi. But, whatever.
Yeah, Jax, that's it.
That too. So with all of that anger and salt out of the way, nothing else left to do here except, I guess, talk about whatever notable new album releases are coming out this Friday, February 2nd, 2018. And there's literally, like, four of note here, unless you care about, like, Rye or something. So, of the four, there's the newest album from AWOL Nation with Here Come the Runts.
That's still a thing?
I guess. The newest album from thrash metal titan Saxon with Thunderbolt. The newest album from, well, actually the debut full length from Asian rapper Rich Brian with Amen. And last but not least, Mr. He's Got Supply Eyes, Justin Timberlake with Man of the Woods. So now let's clean house and get the fuck out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Or as you are literally everywhere, where hopefully you'll see me talk about more music, because my work is never done with these fucking idiots at the helm. Academy!
Shit. Oh, I thought you were talking about me for a minute.
No.
Oh, thank
you.
Well,
God. I mean, you are an idiot, but a different kind of idiot. Cool
shit. You know, I can't even really disagree with that. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MacDavidMedia, as always. Also on my site, The Mind, The Hybrid One, at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. My latest thing I did on the site is my review of Interview with Monster Girls, aka the anime that should win Best Slice of Life anime, not some other bullshit. So yeah, there you go.
Noted. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, what have you, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you want to send me any hate mail because I made fun of Bruno Mars. Bring it. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Do audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up every Friday on the YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just, you know, search that name on YouTube, subscribe, and hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new episodes go up there. And of course, be sure to follow Surreal Resolution on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Follow us on Twitch, you know, by the same name. Find us on Facebook. And of course, visit us on www.surrealresolution.com. And of course, find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. You know, while you're there, listen to the past episodes of our podcast. Of course, listen to other podcasts like the Training Stage Podcast ONA. Keep up with our written content. As I believe I may have mentioned, I have a review of Fall Out Boy's Mania up. You might hear us talk about that again later.
Also, fuck you, by the way.
Yeah, fuck you, Rob.
Love you too, guys. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you ever want to, you know, scream at us for our music takes. Well, me and Alex, at least. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us for this very rant-tastic episode of the podcast. Of course, things will be back to normal next week with regular song discussions and news topics. So, until next time, fuck you, James Corden.